The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Biddle, live from Bar Canada at the D, majestic downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. Still to come this hour, Dave Siverston. I want to get that right. Dave Siverston, senior draft analyst at Our Lad Scouting Services, talk NFL draft with us. Kelly and I will go through our NFL draft bets once again coming up as well. I want to say that Bill Krakenberger will not be here on the show tomorrow. The reason for that is that Krak is attending Howie Schwab's funeral. So we intended to talk about Howie Schwab when Krak was here tomorrow, but he is actually the going to be at the funeral itself, scheduled for the day that he is normally on this show. So obviously that's very understandable. And just a tribute to Howie Schwab real quick, since we won't get a chance to do it with Krak, which is, you know, Howie Schwab passed away at 63 years old. Howie was on the show here on A Numbers Game with us, courtesy of Krak, once upon a time. Could not have been more nice. He also let me talk with Schwab off air, Howie off air. Just a gentleman, just a super sweet guy. And for a generation, for those of a certain age, we remember him from the Stump the Schwab show on ESPN, which only, Kelly, really interestingly, you know, we think of these things historically as having lasted much longer than they actually did. It was only on from 2004 to 2006.
Yeah.
And then it went into reruns. I guess people watched it in reruns. But it's sort of like a, I think what was like a generations thing. This is a weird, strange comparison. But
It was a conversation. I was having that conversation with someone yesterday, though. Exactly what you just said. Yeah. It felt like it was a show. I mean, it made a major impact on me. I Stumped the Schwab. Are you kidding me? That was legendary when it first came on. And it felt like it ran for 8-10 years, something
yeah.
like that.
It's funny, but people talk about Farrah Fawcett Majors having been on Charlie's Angels. They felt like, oh, she was on forever. She was on for like 1 year and a couple episodes. And like that impact had that kind of different kind of impact on guys. But in the case of Howie Schwab, you know, Dan Patrick said the other day, he was sports Google before sports Google. Howie Schwab was the most knowledgeable. I mean, we all know people in our lives who are sports encyclopedias. There was a point when I was a kid, right? Like where your brain is just infested with nothing but sports knowledge. And you have all this kind of like recall on details. I was set when Parles was in your chair, like Parlay had like between the years of like a certain time of his life, like 2002, 2005, like he had this unbelievable knowledge. Where when you get to a certain age, I only remember stuff from the 80s and 90s or 70s even. And then you sort of, your brain sort of purges information after that. Howie Schwab knew everything about everything always. Any sport. And if you watched Stump the Schwab all those years, it was this super creative format where there was three rounds. The second round he didn't participate in, but the first round and the final round he did. And no one could beat the Schwab for, I want to say, a year and a half of that show. And then he finally got beat, not because the other guy was so much smarter than him, but he just had a bad day on the show. But it was just that he was this mythical character. And in person, in just the brief time that Krak was kind enough to have him on the show here on A Numbers Game, he was just as nice a human being as there was. Super generous. And everybody at ESPN talks about him that way. Chris Felica, our friend, talks about him as a great influence on him and so kind to him in his early days at ESPN as well. So Howie Schwab passing away at the age of 63. We didn't want to let that go by without acknowledging it. And Krak will be at the funeral tomorrow. When I say Krak, I mean Bill Krakenberger. Let me just point that out for those who do not know who Krak is.
I mean, and you brought it up, but extremely close. I mean, not only did he have get him on the show, but how many shots, you know, when he was gone doing remote shots from Howie's place.
Bill did
place,
the show many times from Howie Schwab's place in Florida. In Aventura, down in South Florida. Okay. We have not updated our NFL draft bets. We haven't added any. I don't know. Have you added any since yesterday? Maybe you have.
Oh, all these days are bleeding together now.
Yeah.
Did I add anything yesterday? I don't think I did. No, I do not think I did.
Okay. But let's go through what we have. Let's start with Kelly's, because Kelly's appears on the screen here first. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels. So, yeah, I mean, we hit this right about the same time. You hit a little bit earlier than me. I was waiting to see where their buyback would be. I played Daniels over Drake May. This is not, if you're sitting at home watching, you're like, why would you go number two and then Daniels over Drake May? This is just a bet by proxy. This is the best price. I bet the minus 140, whatever, what was that, last Friday, right, when we were talking
Friday
about this?
Friday morning, yep.
Because you bet it Friday morning. I waited a little bit longer. I bet minus 140. I think it was a Friday night or Saturday morning. I went to go add, and already by that point, it had gotten to like minus 200 everywhere in town. Circa had a matchup still, though, with Daniels against May at minus 145. So that's why I bet that's really just by proxy the second overall pick, I'm hoping. Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. That was the first bet that I made. We talked about this earlier in the week, but Harrison Jr., third pick, added, did sprinkle a little bit on that. Onto that in case that does occur. Also played, not shown, but I did play that exact of the top three that you played as well, with Harrison going third, Jaden Daniels two, and Caleb Williams one. Malik Nabers, fifth pick, plus 225. We've talked about the this pick for a while now. I think Gil's going to win. I'm going to win, or there's going to be a trade and we're both going to lose, because I think it's offensive line or wide receiver for the Chargers if they stay in pat.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Dallas Turner, eighth pick. A couple bets in on that one, and he's no longer the favorite there, so we'll see where that goes. Eighth pick, and then top 10 pick as well. Keon Coleman under 46.5. This was my guy this year. I will die on this hill. Keon Coleman, too good, up in the air with the ball. He's going to be drafted somewhere. Wouldn't be shocked if it is in the first round, but played the under 46.5 that Circa posted here. Quarterbacks, I've got a little over on the little on the under, just a little free money there. And then wide receivers, I did the over. Feel like I'm one of the few people with the over at this point. I think these conversations, and I want to have one with you after you go through your pick, because there's one about the Jets I want to have, and then the wide receivers.
Yeah, wide receivers who Drew famously thinks will be a under easily.
Yeah. No, and I know Matt Brown feels that way too. I was talking with him for a while yesterday. I think it's an interesting conversation. I think Drew laid it out really well, because it's similar thinking, right? Like it's, I bet the over because I've seen so many different mocks and heard so many different people involved with the draft throw it, sprinkling in names at the end of that first round, where if you combine all the mocks I've probably read through, I've probably seen 12, 13 different wide receivers that have ended up in the first
round.
That's
very true.
You know what I mean? So my thought was, okay, that's an over. I think Drew did a good job of explaining the other day, okay, he looks at that same thing and says, okay, there's way too much supply here, not enough demand. These teams are just going to wait till the second round to take these guys. So we'll have to see what happens. I think Matt Brown feels kind of the same way about that.
Here are mine. These are not listed in the chronological order of when I made them, but Jaden Daniels, second pick of the draft. I said, this was Friday morning, this past Friday morning. I was not going to get involved in this, because I always thought it was going to be Jaden Daniels number two, but his price was prohibitive. And then that huge move against him going number two was Friday morning. So I made it at minus 125.
Thanks, Topgolf.
Thanks, Topgolf. Thanks, Jaden Daniels agent.
We think.
By the way, Jaden Daniels, this whole thing that he wants to be reunited with Antonio Pierce and be a Raider, but I'll settle for Washington. I was like, come on, dude. There's no idea. Like, I don't think he has any appreciation for how amazing the Washington fan base is compared to the transient Vegas one. Stop it.
Yeah.
Come on, Jaden, get on board.
I think to be fair to the kids, I think you probably need a couple years. What I mean? Around the fans, in the building, to really start to appreciate the history.
Jaden Daniels, it could be the king of the DMV. Like, just, he has no idea how this will change his life. I took Marvin Harrison third pick. So now there's going to be a couple exactas here in the Marvin Harrison third pick. This was based on sort of the Samich / Luke Swain Drew Dinsick podcast, Beating the Book podcast we did. By the way, still available, the Beating the Book NFL Draft podcast. If there is a possibility of chaos, right? Like, if the Patriots really prefer Jaden Daniels over, say, Luke May or J.J. McCarthy, and there isn't a trade that knocks their socks off, would they not take Marvin Harrison right there, staring them in the face? So I grabbed that at 25-1. That would make my draft right there, dude.
Right, no, seriously,
like, if that just happened, that'd be over.
I'm with you.
One of the earliest picks I made was Joe Alt as the fifth pick. I really actually think this has a shot, plus 450. Jim Harbaugh has been very vocal about wanting an offensive lineman start this tenure as the coach of the Chargers. Could he hook up his boy J.J. McCarthy and trade out? I guess. But if the Chargers are sitting there at 5 and there's no trade that knocks your socks off, I think they go Joe Alt plus 450 at 5. Roma Dunze, that's all Felica. Under 8.5, I also have him coming up. You'll see exactly as the number 6 pick. But I went under 8.5. He tied the Giants into Roma Dunze, that they're obsessed with him. Dallas Turner was an under 9.5 because it looked like Atlanta was a lock to get him. Not so much anymore. We'll see. Jaguars first pick cornerback. This is just me betting mocks. Like, every mock had them picking a corner. So I actually bet that one twice, and Stations actually took a bet on that. There's the under 4.5 quarterbacks. This was another market I wasn't going to get involved with, but when the price on the over went soaring high, I took the under at plus 160. And then here are the others. These are the exact, as I was referring to, and these are just the fun ones. Again, Caleb Jaden Harrison, 40-1. Caleb Jaden Harrison Drake Joalt, 200-1. Caleb Jaden Harrison Drake Malik, 200-1. Good luck, baby. But could you imagine? Can you imagine
happens? What I love is, like, I want to be able to sit here and say, like, I like the chances of that because, like, I do. But, like, we've all sat through NFL drafts before. Like, all this takes is one trade, one thing, and it blows the entire thing.
And the exactas aren't for as much. They wouldn't even let you bet as much on the exactas as they would on the others. That was one of those where you put in a number and they're like, we'll give you this amount. How about that? And you're like,
I think I put in the pro tip yesterday too, but like, this is like, okay, Gil, like these were the, and I bet that top, the top three exact order too. 40-1, 200-1 is great.
Sure.
Maybe not screw around with the 3-1s that are at the top of the board. Like, a lot of things can change.
If you're going to do this nonsense, make it count. David Silverstein from Our Lad Scouting Services talk draft with us. NBA thoughts. I haven't done enough NBA this morning. Let's get back to basketball after a kind of ho-hum night in the association last night. We're coming back. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. JB on Twitter. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Uncle Bush. All this talk about lack of inside info in the draft, and all the while, old Gil is neighbors with the Raiders head coach. Hey, Tony. It's Gil from apartment AC. Any chances I can get a peek at that big board, buddy? I brought some sushi.
Hey, this is a great point, actually. What have you been doing? Grab a glass and get outside his door and just sit there all day like that.
Here's what happens when I do get to my car. When Antonio Pierce gets to his car, he is often a second before me. It's very funny how that always works out that way. And the valet, you can tell, is kind of already peppering him with questions that he's uncomfortable asking. So I would have to piggyback on that and be like, oh yeah, and another thing, are you drafting Penix or trading up for Jaden? What are you doing? By the way, man. I'm Gil. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, by the way, yeah. Live in your building.
That's right. Let's see. Real uniform czar. Does this mean Reggie Bush becomes the second player to win the Heisman twice? Oh, great point. Archie Griffin being the other. Invictus. Let's see. If you're going to play around with silly stuff, make it count. Might slightly misquoted, but genius commentary on draft exactas. LOL. Thank you. And then David Shalafour. Like Harrison at 3, then Brady comes back and the Pats are cooking. Hashtag Wemby, hashtag Guardians. Can you imagine that? By the way, Tom Brady's starting to get into the Aaron Rodgers thing of just stop talking about yourself. It's over. Okay. We don't need to hear you spec. You know, every once in a while he speculates and everybody goes crazy that Brady will come back.
Did he say anything more outside of that?
No.
The haircut podcast interview?
It was getting his hair cut.
I think it was called The Cut, right? It's a great idea. I haven't listened to the podcast. I think it's a great idea.
To agree to do that. Like, sure, I'll do your podcast.
I don't know. Maybe he's like a world class barber. You just get a free haircut.
Could you call Tom Brady's agent? Get him on the show.
Why am I saying, like, it's Tom Brady
on the show, Kelly. If it's that easy, get him on the show. Because what was the thing that you
said? World class barber. Okay, I didn't say world class. I didn't say we were a world class show.
World class masseuse, Kelly Midland. I'll massage your calves.
Oh yeah. Watch Zion. If you need any hamstring massages, I'm available. Right. This playoffs needs you. Okay, you and Giannis.
The funniest thing daily is you sending those texts to me.
Okay. Oh, he came for Giannis, Wyatt Tomczyk, and Ben Wilson. They may be ready to go. They'd be ready to Gas up the jet. We got to go to Milwaukee.
What was your draft thing we didn't get to?
That you okay, wanted? Okay. So I got into this conversation with Matt a little bit yesterday. Matt Brown. Mm-hmm. And it was coming off of our conversation with Eric Eager on the show yesterday when you asked the question of who's going to screw up this draft, right? Yes. He said Jets, which I feel like has been a sort of common answer to this.
Solid answer.
It's as solid answer as you could give just because they're the Jets. But what do they do at 10 to screw up their draft?
Right, that's a subjective.
It's a subjective thing. Yeah. And I'm going to take it two ways, right? Because I think you and I were talking about it after the show yesterday, and I was like, that sounds Brock Bowers-ish to me. Like, that is, we're going to take Brock Bowers there, and then everybody's going to pile on the Jets, and you drafted a tight end way too early. We've seen this play out before, yada, 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 right? Matt took it the other way.
I took it the other way, too.
Same thing is kind of like the wide receiver conversation, right? Matt's point was, they're going to screw up the draft. If they're the team that screws up the draft or screws up this season for them, it's by taking an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Because you've already sunk all this money to bring in these guys this offseason that if you're drafting an offensive lineman at 10th overall, you're basically drafting for the future. When, like, who cares about the future if you're rushing Aaron Rodgers back out there?
I agree with Matt. That's why when you said that yesterday off air, you were like, because I was like, oh, as good an answer as any. We were like, ha-ha, funny. And then you're like, yeah. You took the approach that drafting Brock Bowers would be them screwing up the draft. And I was surprised by that because I was like, oh, you think that's the screw-up? I think if all Aaron Rodgers would have to do is whisper to the front office and be like, well, you better draft Brock Bowers because that's the dude that I want. And we already have players on offense, right? The Garrett Wilsons of the world. We're like, we're going to be stacked.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is not going to be there. Maybe not beyond this year, right? Maybe.
Right, correct.
So, like, yes, get every unicorn you can possibly find and go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. What are we doing otherwise?
I agree with that. I really do. At the end of the day, I agree with that, which I think just maybe makes their choices of offseason signings on the offensive line more questionable because there's a lot of people. How many people have you heard say they need to draft an offensive line because they got to protect Aaron Rodgers and keep him up?
Oh, we just had that on the show today already.
Like, I understand. Yeah. Like, that makes sense. I understand it. But, like, if you already sunk, you know, money and capital into bringing guys in the offseason, like, you kind of already did that.
I'm with Matt. You got Aaron Rodgers to just hack the notion of time. Let's get a title while he's still available to us. Let's go for it. And the way you do that is by drafting, again, as he's the unicorn out there, right?
Right.
Brock Bowers is the unicorn at that position. He's basically a slot receiver, like he's that good. So it's like I could see Aaron Rodgers just completely. That's why we said yesterday when we're doing the offensive rookie of the year thing, you can make a case for two people. Jaden Daniels, because he'll be a starting quarterback with a team that has pieces on offense in Washington. And the other one is Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Rodgers could just feed him all day.
Well, and that one, I still like that. I like that bet. We were talking about this. I mean, the two teams you've heard him linked.
22-1, was it yesterday?
Yeah, the two teams we've heard him linked to, the most are the Bengals and the Jets.
Like, can't go wrong.
He could have massive seasons with either one of those.
What was
teams.
The other question?
That was it. Just the Jets.
I thought you said you had two.
The wide receivers we talked about last segment.
Oh, well, no, I
just of kind of which way do you read into the wide receiver, you know, supply demand situation?
Right. Well, that was Drew's point, right? Drew's point on going under was he just thinks that there will not be a, I don't want to speak for him, but essentially there are so many available, right, that the urge to go crazy on them will not happen in the first round. And you explained yourself, which is you saw so many different guys in mocks, literally like 12 to 14 of them in different mocks, that your thinking was, well, that means at least six have to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think those are a couple interesting, like, where people are thinking about things similar ways and landing on different bets.
I mean, there's a prop out there, 6.5 trades, right? And he was like super about the under because six, I mean, seven trades. Are you kidding me? That's a lot of trades.
Is that where they're at? Is that six and a half? Is that where it's like minus 110 ish?
I think so. I don't know if it's minus 110, but that was where the prop was.
I think Station's the only one in town that has trades, but it's exact
it's
numbers.
Yeah. I looked, yeah. I was like, oh, I'm not betting that. Yeah. That's ridiculous. That's my exact same reaction. I was looking all over town for it, but it didn't exist the same for that. That was the only trades related one. But again, getting back to the original point that we have no idea what we're about to see tomorrow night. If we found out that there were seven trades, would you be, I'd be somewhat surprised, but I wouldn't be astonished by it.
I wouldn't be shocked. I'm trying to think the number that I would be surprised. I mean, with a lot of this flows into the same conversation we're having, right? If we think there's so much offensive line, wide receiver value at those positions, and there's so much, there could be a lot of tinkering, even for just a couple picks, towards the back half of the first round.
It's just that it's a domino effect. All of this becomes a domino effect. And so it's like you could therefore, based on a domino effect, go over on everything that you have, or you could go undefeated, right? Let me ask you a broader question about betting.
Real quick, I think on the trades, if anything, I would lean over on almost any number just because – like, we're talking about, 10 offensive linemen going in the first round?
He liked the under strong.
How many teams would have the same number? I mean, how many of those 10 offensive, let's just say it's 10, 9, 10, whatever. Not many teams are going to have them ranked exactly the same. You know what? My point is you might want to trade up four picks because you think there's an offensive lineman out there that you value so much more than everybody else.
We did the podcast, Luke Swain, Drew Dinsick, and I, Beating the Book NFL Draft Podcast, which is out there. But I'm getting confused because he had the under 6.5 wideouts, which he liked a lot. The under 6.5 trades, I think, was ridiculously juiced, I thought. I think it was a heavy favorite. I think. I might be getting confused. But he liked it very much that it wouldn't get to that. But again, who knows? I just want to ask this. We've had nothing but success in NFL drafts until last year.
Mm-hmm.
And last year we lost, which is, by the way, exactly what Luke's experience was too. Luke Swain, Vegas Refund. If you have a losing NFL draft this year, I already know the answer to this. Will you stop betting it?
No.
There's no chance. Even as it's coming out of my mouth, I'm like, this is the dumbest question. Of course you're not going to stop, right?
No.
Because you'll think you'll have it harnessed next year. How many losing ones in a row would it take you to stop? There is no answer, right? You'd keep betting them.
I think there'd be a point of the losses mounting up with also the books being less and less eager to actually post stuff. Right,
it would have to turn into the NBA draft where there wasn't even enough to even consider.
Right, yeah.
But it won't turn into that.
I mean, especially with us, it's an unfair question because I think it's such great conversation around this time of year. You know what I mean? So we talk ourselves into a lot.
I've been done betting this draft three different times.
Exactly.
Dave Sivertson from Our Lad Scouting Services, senior draft analyst. He's on the other side. We'll talk NFL draft with him. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, David Sivertson standing by from Our Lads. We get texts, we get tweets, Kelly. We get both of them. Texts, this is from Michael Montesano. Former guest here, of course, not former guest, but guest often here on the show and former
guest. Never allowed back on, Michael.
I didn't mean that, Michael. Former booby prize winner at Circa is what I meant to say. He said, I too need this draft to come based on Daniel Jeremiah's tweet about offensive linemen. I just took the over 9.5 offensive linemen. He says, I got to stop making bets too. LOL. Will Hill commenting on the tribute to Howie Schwab said, when I was a kid, I never thought anyone knew more sports than me. Then I watched that show. Talk about Howie Schwab. And we get tweets. Eric Berg, can't believe Gil skipped a Keon Coleman exhibition of football reference over Kelly's picks. It's so funny you mentioned that, Eric, because in my head, I was about to say one, but Kelly kept talking.
So I was on a roll.
He was on a roll. He kept talking. But what I was going to say was, did anybody tell Keon Coleman that this next year will actually happen? Bainbridge DeWeese, as someone who hasn't been to Vegas in years, I'm curious, when you talk about shopping around or going all over town looking for a line, do you literally mean walking into 10 books or just checking 10 apps/websites? Great question. Checking 10 apps / websites is usually the answer.
Well, no, it's not. Just 10 apps, not websites.
Not the websites.
We wish we had the luxury of pulling it up on our computer.
The 10 apps part.
Why do you think we complain about the phone app so much? We're on our phone for 30 minutes trying to make one bet.
Bainbridge, when this state gets legalized sports betting, it is going to be something.
Watch out.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is the senior draft analyst at Our Lads Scouting Services. You can follow him on Twitter at OurLads_SY. David Sivertson joins us. Dave, great to meet you, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, by the way.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, guys. We're coming down the home stretch for the NFL draft, something that we've been doing a ton of work on for over 12 months now. It's an 18-month process now, a.k.a. we've already started next year's draft prep. So it's crazy how fast it comes, how long it comes, and then how fast it disappears as well. Really excited about the next few days.
Let me just start by saying, echoing the conversation we just had off air, which is, hey, I said to Dave, just meeting him, I go, you know what I use Our Lads for? And I figured he would have no idea what I use Our Lads for, and you immediately shot back.
The depth charts.
Depth charts. That's what and you said that's your bread and butter there.
That's the Our Lads bread and butter. That's actually how I started off working for them. And that's usually kind of like a rite of passage to be an analyst and scout for Our Lads Scouting is that's where they start. I started off on the ACC depth charts. We do college as well. And they're really important and you have to take a lot of pride in them. And there's no shortcutting it. Every player, every height, every weight, every hometown, that's how it starts. And then to the NFL level, it's just equally important, especially with the betting now, knowing who's out, who's in. And the only way to do it right is to be on top of it 24/7, 365. And that's what we do. That's what we have a strong reputation there.
Yeah. I thought I was like this secret, but that when I'm off air, when I'm on air, that Our Lads is exactly where I go. All right, David, let's start with this. What is your take on the first round that you would deem to be the most off of conventional wisdom right now? What do you believe is happening that most people don't anticipate is?
Oh, man. I believe that you're going to see two defensive players taken in the top 10. And it's a really common line that say, hey, only Atlanta is going to be going after a defensive player in the top 10. But I think there's a multiple teams that I would say it's more than coin flip direction that you're going to see two defenders taken in the top 10. It's a very top heavy draft when it comes to quarterbacks, offensive linemen, and wide receivers. But there's enough demand and there's enough supply to say that we've never seen 10 or even 9 players taken in the top 10 on offense in the NFL draft, and I don't see that trend being broken this year.
What is your instinct on the third pick in the draft? If you believe it's Caleb Williams to Chicago, if you believe it's Jaden Daniels to Washington, what is your instinct at 3?
Drake May is my instinct. I personally have J.J. McCarthy graded above Drake May, and I do know the league loves wins and championships and winners and guys that respond to adversity, a.k.a. J.J. McCarthy losing in the playoffs in 2022 season, coming back and taking it all in 2023. I get all that. But I also think at the top of the draft, you see teams, we see this every year, Trey Lance a few years ago, teams are going to look at the talent and the ceiling of a quarterback and what he can do with his arm. And it's hard to get past Drake May, who probably does have the best pure arm talent on a frame that can remind some of Justin Herbert and Matthew Stafford and Josh Allen. Not the same style of play, but just the durability and the ability to win from the pocket. I think that's where it's hard for coaches to get away from that. So I think that's why he'll be the third pick.
You mentioned that you had J.J. McCarthy over him in terms of your rankings. Can you rank those top 6 quarterbacks for us and the distance between them generally?
So we actually had Jaden Daniels as our quarterback 1 at Our Lads, and it's been that way since the fall. The separation between the two is not significant, but if you told me I had to pick one of them, Jaden Daniels is quarterback 1 for us. Caleb Williams is number 2. Number 3, J.J. McCarthy. Drake May, number 4. And then, because of medicals, Bo Nix is ahead of Michael Penix. And when it comes to pure arm talent and what this guy can do on the field, Penix is the guy. He's a better quarterback. But those medicals, I would be very scared to put all my eggs in that basket. Season-ending injuries to shoulders and knees. And the one takeaway I have from A, meeting him, and B, talking to those that have interviewed him at the Combine, at the Senior Bowl, he is unbelievably thin-boned, is what we call it, meaning I don't know if he's going to be able to handle NFL defensive tackles and edge rushers landing on top of him and still able to get back up. I mean, I just don't know. The durability factor is a question with Michael Penix.
Just to clarify, when you say thin-boned, this is not some medical exam. This is a football analysis of it, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Not a doctor by any means. But it's just more how thin he is and the lack of potential to put more muscle mass on his frame. That's another way of looking at it. Like we do know a lot about body types and body structure. That is a huge part of the draft evaluation process. And I don't think Penix is a guy that you're going to see 10, 15 years from now with another 20 pounds on his frame. It's just not the way he's going to hold weight.
All right. I have two reactions to what you just said. One, I'm a Washington fan. Don't mess this up. Draft Jaden Daniels, again, based on what David just said. And then the other one is, this is why I love the under 4.5 quarterbacks bet. Not only because I don't think anybody who watched Bo Nix had a great last year in college football. I get it. But I don't think anybody watching was like, first round NFL pick. And then the Penix thing, which you're right, we don't harp enough on is are the medicals. Like, how could a team... And again, even if you love the potential of that arm, and he got a great arm, even if you love it, how can you invest a first-round pick on a guy with so much uncertainty, right? That's the big bugaboo. Yeah.
And I think even to build off that point is he barely got touched in his 2 years at Washington. And you can't count – I mean, Bo Nix as well. Those guys, I think, of all the quarterbacks in the country, they were touched – I think there's only three or four guys in the country that were touched less than them when it comes to pressure and sacked and quarterback hits. So it's almost like it kind of gave you this unrealistic hope that he's going to have that same kind of protection at the next level. It's a risky move no matter what to use a first round pick on a quarterback. We see it's a coin flip right now. Quarterbacks that are taken in the top 10, and it gets even worse if you go in the 10 to 25 range. I've done studies on how many quarterbacks have actually had success that get drafted out of the top 10. The trends are unbelievably trending towards those quarterbacks almost never working out. You don't want to use the term never in any sort of scouting process because, you know, every time you do, Brock Purdy comes out of nowhere and ends up being a starting quarterback after being Mr. Irrelevant. But, you know, the trends and the amount of analytics that are taking over football decision-making, both on the field and in the draft room with all these guys coming from a finance background into the league, I think the trend is going to be stay away from Penix in round one.
Can you rank your wide receivers at the top of the draft for us?
Yeah. So I'm a Marvin Harrison Jr. all day guy, have been from day one. I know the flavor of Malik Nabers and the big play potential is approaching that tier. I think they're graded very closely, but Marvin Harrison's much more polished. And Romo Dunze is kind of 1B and 1C to Malik Nabers being right under Marvin Harrison. I think they're the equal grade. They're just different receivers, different players. So those are our top three receivers. And then I think Brian Thomas is a great consolation prize if you want one of those guys, but let's say Arizona or Los Angeles trades down with Minnesota and they miss out on one of those top three receivers. Brian Thomas is a guy that I think has a very similar upside to the three names that I already talked about. There's a little bit more unknown with him. He really only has 1 year of quality tape. But remember, this kid was a star high school basketball player. He was a little late to the scene on the gridiron, and we're starting to, he did things at the combine that we've seen happen two or three times since 2005. When you're talking about height, weight, speed, vertical, and you know, he led the country in touchdowns. So we're not talking about just an athlete.
Significant drop after Brian Thomas?
I do think there's a significant drop because the rest of the guys that I can rattle off, Ladd McConkey, Adonai Mitchell, Xavier Worthy, Ricky Pearsall, they're closer to round two than round one when it comes to my final grades. Guys that I think can have a lot of success at the next level, and a lot of wide receiver success depends on who's throwing them the ball, what scheme they're in. But I do believe those guys are just a hair under, and I wouldn't feel as confident using even like a top 20, top 25 pick on them.
Now that feeds into the under 6.5 wideouts thought. David, a pleasure meeting you, and thank you for that Jaden Daniels love. I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great to meet you guys.
David Sivertsen from Our Lads. Interesting. We'll come back. NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game. Don't forget this great offer that's going on at DraftKings regarding the NBA playoffs, which we'll get to our picks here momentarily. But in case you forgot, don't miss out on the NBA playoff action at DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSIN. If you use that code, new customers that bet $5, you'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. What would Jim Rome, what would he have said about David Silverstein's appearance? He would have said, racket. That was pretty good. That was interesting.
He was great.
So he's got Jaden Daniels rated higher than Caleb Williams, which is a similar thing to when we had Merrill Hodge on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And Merrill Hodge said, Caleb Williams is nothing special. That was his exact quote. So Silverstein agrees.
Now, Merrill hates both Caleb Williams and Drake May, so...
Yes,
I don't even really know how he feels about Jay Daniels. He might just be the last one remaining for him.
So Silverstein said that, and he also said that it was interesting because he said he's a Marvin Harrison guy, but then when he talked about Neighbors and Odunze, he did a whole 1B1C thing.
Yeah, I think I'm taking that as he has all three very highly rated, but there is a clear order to him.
And then Brian Thomas Jr., and then a drop-off.
Yeah, you and I were just talking about that during the break. Brian Thomas Jr., it might be the last bet I'm making. I think I might be making
under his position.
One more is under on him. Because it feels like he is very much the consensus fourth guy. And if you're in my camp of thinking those three go very early, Odunze, Neighbors, Marvin Harrison.
Somebody's going to want to grab
him. And that there's some kind of if there's a trade-up, right, with a lot of those, if we talk Cardinals, Chargers, a lot of these wide receiver needy teams, that if someone trades up for a quarterback, like David just said, he could be that wide receiver left there.
Especially if you are one of those wide receiver needy teams and you have it rated just like he did,
right?
Which is, oh God, he's the only one worthwhile left. I got to trade up and get him or whatever. Or I got to pick him now.
That's a great point. Because he really, I think he just said it that way. And I feel like that's what's showing up on the box is there is a big separation between him at four and the top three guys, right? And him at four and everybody else.
I would like to make a public service announcement from me to you, Kelly Bidlin. No more draft betting here after midnight tonight. Don't forget.
I'm going to forget again.
That's it. Nevada takes it down tonight at midnight.
It's midnight?
Isn't it?
I
think it's midnight. No, it's always been midnight. It's midnight the day before. Yeah, that's what I thought. Whereas the DraftKings of the world, they leave them up even when the draft starts.
Yeah, well, the draft's going on.
Lucky y'all.
I mean, you're gonna get the. I mean, if I'm remembering from years past, it's like, I mean, draft starts. They'll pull a bunch of stuff down, see what happens with first pick, and then repost stuff. You know, top 10 odds and stuff like that.
The best were the days of when, like, they weren't hip to the fact that Twitter had it before they did. Like, the pick was up before the TV did.
Oh yeah,
you could still live bet the result. those were the days of offshore. Yeah. We get tweets. By the way, this is a great Buddhist man who always is nonstop funny. He just he just put out a Kawhi meme that says, "My mind's telling me no." This is a R. Kelly lyric, but my body's also telling me no. Patrick Campbell, sorry about that.
I was texting with you yesterday. The Kawhi Leonard thing is still just adding another chapter to Kawhi Leonard has confused me once
this
again.
This is why I asked you yesterday on the show, if the Clippers lose to the Mavericks, what actually is his legacy? Because is it, he did win a championship. Yeah, but he won the championship when every Warrior, right? Like,
Matt Brown listening, 24 hours before the draft starts.
Oh, 24 hours?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Matt Brown.
Yeah, there you go.
So it's at 4 p.m.?
Matt
5
Brown,
PM?
Who also was on the Brian Thomas bet, I believe.
Oh, so it's not midnight tonight? It's 5 p.m. tonight? So I needed a PSA myself.
Yeah, you need to hurry up.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I can like make it to 5 without making another bet, man.
I think I'm adding that one more.
Wait a minute. So the Kawhi thing again, just real quick, because as we segue to basketball here, you won a championship when KD ruptured his Achilles tendon and Klay blew out his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Mazel tov to you. The rest of your career is nothing but injury vagueness, right? In San Antonio, you wouldn't tell anybody what was wrong with you, and you played a few games, a little more than a few, I get it, but you get the idea. Then, ever since then, it's been a load management drama. And now here we are. We thought we were past this, I think, a little bit. I did anyway. I was wrong. And now it's like they were worse with him last night for sure than they were in game one without him.
It's very tough. It's very tough to bring someone like that back in the middle of a series like this because he's so ball dominant, the usage rate that goes to a guy like that. I mean, he ended up with the most shot attempts of anybody on the team last night. It really changes things. You and I have kind of laughed about it, but like Joel Embiid's a different story because the guy is out there hurt. He's out there hurt. Clearly, he's not nearly 100%. Yet Joel Embiid, with his size and shooting ability, can easily just kind of stumble into a 30-10 night like he did the other night. It's interesting. I'm still confused about why game two. Why did he return last night? Kind of like I actually took it a little different than what you brought up.
Your point was you stole a game already.
Yeah. Like you won game one, and if you're
at home, so
if you're telling me he wasn't healthy enough for game one. Like, why would I guess I would have thought they would have waited to game three to even consider bringing him back.
I would have agreed with that. If it were at Dallas the first two games and they had stolen a game, I would have said you're right. But they're at home, so they're trying to hold serve.
48 hours made that big of a difference, though? Like, I guess that's the part I'm confused about.
By the way, can we get back to the 24 hours thing and the 12 midnight thing, what Matt Brown just told us?
Yeah, sure.
That's even dumber. Because none of us, like, then we have to check TV to remind ourselves when the draft starts and we can subtract 24 hours.
Yeah, it's probably more like 5:15 Pacific time tonight or something like that. Yeah.
Even angrier about it. Do you have any play on either of these two games tonight?
No, I don't. I do think that JVT's point on Giddy on the under is really good.
That's a PRA. Good point.
That's been a long discussed topic with the Thunder throughout this kind of end of the regular season and what's this team going to look like in the playoffs. It's the big areas of concern, right? The youth, the size, are you going to be able to go up against the bigger teams? Okay, we've already seen Valanciunas be a problem for them early on. And it's what do you do with Josh Giddey in late game situations? He's a great regular season player because he's a step on the floor triple-double guy, but he's not a high-level defender. He's not a high-level three-point shooter when the Thunder have great three-point shooters sitting on that bench. It's long been talked about. I do think you're going to start seeing a decrease in his minutes. He was already 20 the other night. If you saw what Cason Wallace did at the end of that game the other night defensively, I mean, in one highlight, he might have made a case for, give me those minutes. I'm already shooting over 40% from three.
I told you, I texted in the group. I said it earlier. I texted in the group text. I don't usually chime in on things Josh Giddey, but even I was like, oh, he's not even a consideration to be in crunch time. And, yeah, those minutes, those playoff minutes are gone. Great regular season guy.
Great regular season guy.
But not exactly now.
And really, he's one of those guys that's, you know, Will was making the joke earlier, right, about the Magic's offense, right? It's kind of the same thing, right? Magic can look like a great team during the regular season when you got a top five defense and a middle-of-the-road offense. You take a middle-of-the-road offense into the NBA playoffs, all of a sudden, it doesn't look all that great anymore. Josh Giddey, same thing. You could look like a great player over 82 games in a regular season when guys are resting in and out of games, but now you're talking about increased minutes, increased importance on all these players. It is tough. So under PRA, it's probably where I'll go there. I was kind of considering parlaying it with like Cason Wallace over on stuff, but I don't know for sure yet who's the guy who's going to pick up the extra minutes.
Celtics favored by 14.5 tonight against the Heat. Thunder favored by 7.5 over the Pelicans. Game twos of those respective series. God, I really think I might want to take the Pelicans plus 7.5.
I'm going to stay away just because I have my Thunder series bet. Sidewise, though, it would be over 7 points with the Pelicans. I'd be leaning that way. Heat Celtics, man, it's so gross. I've stared at the Heat team total so many times over the past 48 hours, like ready to press under on it, and I just couldn't get there. I think they're gonna have a tough time scoring. But here's the problem with that bet, Gil. There's definitely a possible reality where the Celtics are up so big in the fourth quarter, it doesn't matter.
It almost happened in game one.
Right, exactly. They just don't care about playing defense, so I'm not screwing around with that.
Teasers and parlays. Some books have top four wide receiver exacta markets. Harrison, Neighbors, Rome, and Brian Thomas in that order, plus 145. See, that's not enough for me. Plus 145.
That sounds like good pricing. Where I know you're a little higher on Odunze. I like Neighbors.
I just have the intel of Odunze to the Giants from Felica. By the way, Chris Felica on the show, we asked him, do you prefer coming on tomorrow or Friday? And his answer was?
Both.
Both. So he'll come on both days because he's got thoughts of the bets that he has, and we'll review it with him on Friday.
Apparently he has to defend your Roma Dunze bet, too, because every time you've talked about it, it's, oh, there's Felica.
Like I said, if it wins, he gets all the credit. If it loses, we go to the town square and do horrible things to him. And then Cleve T.A. on the show tomorrow to talk NFL draft with us as well. He has been tracking it. One of the great football follows. So we look forward to that. As the NFL draft approaches a little more than 24 hours from now, which I should be very aware of, Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.